Turkey Day, Turkey? Or do you have turkeys in Turkey? Or has turkeys originated in your home country? As if I was the expert in all matters Turkey. How unfortunate, I thought, that the English decided to name a country in their language after a hideous bird. On top of naming a piece of furniture that is used as a footholder after the mighty Ottomans. So it might shock you, but I don't claim expertise in such manners as a Turkey expert. Though the world has moved on to celebrating Christmas, today we are asked by our government and our church to set apart a Sabbath day for Thanksgiving, a day spent feasting with friends and neighbors, giving thanks to God the Father for the blessings He bestowed upon us on this earth as the citizens of this country. Besides the obvious pressure from our culture, pressing us to forcefully to feel thankful for this year, this, that, or the other, an important question is before us again. What should I be thankful for this year as an Episcopalian Christian? And why? Culturally speaking, we are asked to be thankful for the brave act of pilgrims for seeking political and religious freedom from the English crown through their sea journey to the New World, the land of opportunity, in 1621. While their courage to prosper and own land is commended and romantically admired by many, we're also thankful that when things didn't go as planned upon their arrival, as they suffered from death and hunger, the Native American tribe, Wampanoag, had compassion and willingness to teach them how to survive on this new land, which later marked one of the rarest times of unity between the European colonists and Native Americans that lasted over 50 years as they labored together for harvest and lived in peace before the story took more of a tragic turn. While Thanksgiving has not originated as a religious holiday, it was not a completely secular holiday either, because it focuses us on the providence of God, His ability to provide for our needs. In 1789, President George Washington urged Americans to give thanks to God once again on this day for the conclusion of the Revolutionary War and for the ratification of the United States Constitution, as godly peace and unity in this country once again was achieved. But later in 1863, Abraham Lincoln exhorted Americans to acknowledge the hand of God this day in the middle of a gruesome civil war in a proclamation entreating all Americans to ask God to commend His tender care on all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife, and pray to Him to heal the wounds of the nation. So while giving thanks to God is no foreign concept in the history of our country, it is also an extremely familiar concept in our liturgical life as the formerly established Protestant Episcopal Church of America. We begin each Sunday liturgy with an act of praise and thanksgiving, as we just did in the Gloria in Excelsis with the following words: We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee, we glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. And we read scripture in the course of the same liturgy, after which we respond to the word of the Lord with the same gratitude. Thanks be to God. As we are grateful for our earthly blessings, our Mother Church teaches us century after century with the same words that was recited by the faithful past and present to be grateful for God's word written, and as well as the word made flesh, Jesus, the Son of the Father. The second part of each Mass, the Liturgy of the Table, is marked in our prayer book with the title The Great Thanksgiving. Each of us can probably automatically answer if we start the following. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. let us give thanks unto our Lord God. The celebrant priest in that praise asks congregation for the permission to continue with the most real form of thanksgiving in the Eucharist, which then is answered by all of you. It is meet and right so to do. The feast of the Eucharist is only a feast if it is enacted in the presence of the church, where two or three are gathered together to share the Lord's Supper. And once the feast is shared, we leave the table by addressing God for the last time, by saying, "We most heartily thank thee, for thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ." So we give thanks to God our Father many times in the liturgy, because Jesus has given the great thanksgiving by offering his life at the cross, and that has established an eternal kingdom. The Gospel of Matthew tells us over and over that the kingdom of God has come near us in the miracles and ministry of Jesus Christ, Son of David, King of the Jews. Our eternal citizenship in the kingdom of Jesus is established by one truth indicated from our reading in 1 Timothy, that there is one God, and there is also one mediator between God and mankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. The greatest gift given is the sacrifice that establishes our relationship as sons and daughters of God. That relationship with the Father through the Son is so precious that no earthly calamity, hardship, and no worry about our own present sufferings can take away from us. We have been made the heirs of the kingdom of Christ. When we choose to enter into that relationship, our lives become the means of thanksgiving, imitating the sacrifice of Christ. So this Thanksgiving Day, once again, we are about to enter into the mystery of the Eucharist. And Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that will ever be given. And that is something we cannot purchase, and that is something no one can take away from us. But that is something we can give to the world by inviting them to the greatest of all feasts that offer abundant life and peace. Many people from the congregation approached me in the past week to ask if I had a place to go on Thanksgiving Day. And if not, they would love to have me become part of their family for today. And I was very touched by the parishioners' generosity. But I wonder what would happen if we had the same attitude for asking others if they indeed have a place to feast on a Sunday. And if not, we would love to have them to be part of our family at 6345 Wydown Boulevard. And that transcendent reality of the love feast is going to be lived out once more at the altar this morning. And let us ask our blessed Lord to be transformed by that sacrifice once more. A true feast of thanksgiving is always shared, after all, with others. Otherwise, it is just food we consume. And the love of Christ that enables that feast to be life-giving. And for that we are thankful today. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him that taketh away the sins of the world. Happy are they who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen.